Next item, agenda item two, Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee testimony. Commissioner Yamamoto and other commissioners who may want to appear. Thanks for coming.
So good morning to everyone. Happy New Year, and I hope your holidays were very nice. Ours certainly was. Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, members of the Board of Forestry. For the record, I am Tillamook County Commissioner Dave Yamamoto, and also chair of both the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and your very own Forest Trust Lands Advisory Committee. I appreciate very much this opportunity to address you this morning. So as you know, leading up to and during the Linn County class action lawsuit trial, on advice of counsel, we were unable to address the board or the department because your lawyers were unwilling to agree to protect those discussions from being introduced into evidence at trial. However, at this point in time, we no longer have those considerations to deal with and are again fully able to engage on all fronts. And this is a good position for us to be in, and we appreciate that very much. Just as a brief overview of the Linn County class action lawsuit, as the trust counties view these things, after a month-long trial, after hearing more than 100 hours of testimony and reviewing hundreds of exhibits, some going back to the early 1900s, the Linn County jury deliberated for only a few hours before returning with a verdict. The jury determined that the state had indeed breached a long-standing contract with the 13 plaintiff trust counties and awarded full damages of $1.065 billion. The 1941 Forest Acquisition Act created the idea of GPV, greatest permanent value, to mean managing these forest trust lands to return timber revenue to the counties, schools, taxing districts, and the Oregon Department of Forestry. It was in 1998 that this board changed the definition of greatest permanent value. And for the past 20 years, timber revenue suffered while the state instead prioritized going far and above the mandates of the Federal Endangered Species Act and directing funds to increasing recreational opportunities. These are very admirable goals. But the shortfalls over the past 20 years were being borne entirely by the trust counties. What the jury found is that the trust counties have been shorted $1.065 billion to provide these additional services to all residents of Oregon. And it is only fair that we be fairly compensated for these services. Over the past 20 years, trust counties have had to cut public safety, education, emergency services, road maintenance, health care, libraries, and other very essential services. Some think that increasing timber harvest will harm the environment. As a Tillamook County Commissioner, I'm proud to be able to say that when it comes to clean water, habitat restoration, and fish recovery, no Oregon county does this better than Tillamook County. Our victory in court does not mean that we can or should diminish our commitment to our environmental responsibilities. ODF cannot disregard the Endangered Species Act or Clean Water Act, but I feel this jury verdict clearly specifies that the state should not go above and beyond to the financial detriment of the trust counties and our special districts. Timber revenue is but one part of the economic and social sustainability of rural Oregon counties. It must be understood that jobs in the woods, mills, and truck transportation are some of our rural counties' best paying, fully benefited jobs. In the state of Oregon, there are over 60,000 forest products industry jobs, paying on average $53,500 annually. This total FPI employment in Oregon adds more than $3.2 billion to the state economy. Every county in the state has some economic activity generated by the forestry sector. In addition, total wood product sales in Oregon exceeded $10.34 billion in 2016. It is important to note that interest at the state-mandated rate of 9% will accrue on the damages award in the Linn County class action lawsuit. That equates to $260,000 per day. It is expected that the state will appeal this verdict to the Oregon Court of Appeals and then possibly to the Oregon Supreme Court, potentially taking years for these court decisions. No one should blame the trust counties for this situation. Had the state performed the contract as originally promised, the counties would be in a much better financial condition, and ODF would also have had the financial means to properly fund the department and manage state forests. It is not right to expect the trust counties to shoulder the burden to benefit the entire state. Which now brings me to actions by ODF that run counter to the Linn County class action lawsuit. One of these is your agenda item today, agenda item number 7, 2021 legislative concepts. On page 2, under state forest divisions, ODF wishes to explore possible forest trust land transfers and the ability to sell isolated parcels or conservation easements that would provide high-value recreation or conservation benefits. The paragraph concludes by saying the intent is to optimize the management of these public forests to best achieve greatest permanent value for the people of Oregon. The concepts presented here by ODF run counter to the Linn County verdict, and we are obliged to challenge this position. While we understand the verdict is subject to appeal, it is important to note the potential for additional damages awards should ODF and the board continue to compound the financial harm to the trust counties. Additionally, it's important to note, as Bob Van Dyke did earlier, that the Senate Natural Resources Committee has intentions to reintroduce Senate Bill 893, or at least some version of this bill. And like Mr. Van Dyke, we did receive a copy of LC 64 yesterday afternoon. They intend to run this through as a committee bill in the 2020 short session. This bill authorizes the Board of Forestry again to identify certain lands managed by the board that have limited revenue generating potential or that provide high value recreational or conservation benefits. The bill authorizes the board to propose transfer of identified lands to other governmental entities or to change management framework applied to these lands. And this is very concerning to the trust counties. The 2021 legislative concept discussed in your memo today, as proposed by ODF, mirrors the bill being sponsored by the Senate Natural Resource Committee. In the 2019 long session in Salem, when HB 893 died in committee, it was the desire of the committee that a work group be set up in the interim to work on the concept, but the proponents of the bill did not call the meeting. And again, the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and Association of Oregon Counties through Susan Morgan had signed on to the work group. We were absolutely willing to work forward on this. There are several fatal flaws in SB 893, as evidenced by its never being moved out of committee. FTLAC, again, stands ready to participate in the work group that ODF describes in their memo to you, with all parties, including the Oregon Department of Forestry, to try to find a workable solution to a land transfer option for the department. Turning now to the draft forest management plan, our biggest concern here is the lack of specificity, even for strategies we thought were already decided. These strategies include a zoned approach, departure, and take avoidance. Given this silence, there is no clear statement about what the department will or will not do. This forest management plan is the backup in case ODF cannot agree with the feds about a habitat conservation plan, an HCP. The FMP as written does not describe to the feds or anyone else what the alternative to an HCP would mean. We also understand the FMP is a fallback position should the Board of Forestry decide not to pursue an HCP. If the Board of Forestry does agree with the HCP, then a different FMP would need to be written to support an HCP. This forest management plan does not show what the revised FMP would look like. Again, the same lack of specificity. Additionally, the HCP must go through the federal NEPA process, which will require the evaluation of foreseeable environmental and economic consequences. The revised FMP supporting the HCP will need to have more specific outcomes than the current iteration, and we are concerned about how ODF will realize this outcome. The draft FMP also includes references to ecological forest management, EFM, which means an approach to forestry that considers the biological and social aspects of a forest and seeks to find a balance through collaboration and thoughtful implementation. EFM is the latest philosophy for management aimed at providing all things to all people. EFM could be thought of as a philosophical basis for the structured-based management, SBM. ODF has already experimented with structured-based management and found it could not be implemented economically. There is a high potential that EFM would prove to have the same problem, with a lack of specificity about which aspects of EFM the department is considering and why. If EFM becomes the basis for the next round of plans, it seems to us that ODF would be placing less emphasis on revenue production that would be available to the trust counties and the department. Why would the department suggest implementation of EFM to test a new theory when there is no other large-scale test of EFM anywhere else? FTLAC believes that the trust counties, that the trust lands must be managed primarily for production of timber and revenue for the counties, schools, special districts, and for the department. The recent Linn County verdict strongly affirms this position. If this decision holds through appeal, the FMP must reflect the original definition of greatest permanent value, additional damages awards notwithstanding. In good faith, we offer these comments understanding that the draft FMP was prepared under the department's current interpretation of greatest permanent value. The timing of the verdict with ongoing work on the forest management plan and habitat conservation plan could not be worse. It would seem logical and constructive to try to find a way to fold the very real possibility of the Linn County verdict being upheld while minimizing the massive undertaking of unwarranted efforts. I wish to point out here that nothing in FTLAC's comments should be interpreted as contrary to the Trust County's opinions expressed in the Linn County class action lawsuit. It goes without saying that we do appreciate the great working relationship we have with both the department and this board. As we now find ourselves able again to fully engage in substantive conversations about issues imperative to the trust counties, we will find areas of disagreement. It is my hope that we will always find ways to remain engaged. Thank you for the opportunity to address you this morning, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Yes, Commissioner, I'd first of all like to welcome you back to the table.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's nice to be hearing from the advisory committee.
Thank you.
On that note, specifically with respect to the comments that you've offered on the transfer legislation, legislative concept, I'm wondering, almost a process question, I guess, because I have heard conflicting things from some of the commissioners that are members of Trustland Counties from what you offered here today. And so I'm wondering how you get how the advisory committee arrives at what it offers to us as the collective testimony. What's the process that you went through to reach the testimony on that specific point that you provided, and how does that jive with what I'm hearing from contrary from some of the other members?
And so you will find that all the commissioners on the Forest Trust Lands Advisory Council and all the Council of Forest Trust Land County Commissioners, we are not absolutely unified in our message. That's absolutely the case. However, I think if you poll all of the commissioners in the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties, all the commissioners, and they are the same, all the commissioners on the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee counties, I think you will find that the vast majority, and I am saying vast majority, will agree with the testimony that I provide here. It is very difficult for us to call a meeting every other month to work on testimony that everyone is going to agree on. But again, I would ask you please to, again, poll all of the commissioners in the trust counties, and I'm sure you will find that the vast majority agree with the comments that I've made here for you today.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all. I was looking more for a process response, sort of a how do you arrive at what you offer, under what circumstances do you let us know the diversity of opinion that exists amongst the Trustland mm-hmm. counties, you know, sort of, because frankly, on all the topics that you will undoubtedly be commenting on in future, I don't have the independent time to poll all of the commissioners all the time. So I'd like to know how you are arriving at what we're hearing from you.
And I understand that one of the options that I would ask you to consider is that we go through our elections on an annual basis, and the chair and the vice chair are chosen annually. And that's based on our history in working with the Council of Forest Trust Land Counties and the Forest Trust Land Advisory Committee. Again, are we going to ever get to a point where we will have 100% agreement on testimony being provided here? I would say no.
Again, sort of, was this topic talked about at your last meeting? If so, you know, or is this your best effort at offering us what you believe is the collective majority opinion?
And I would say that is true. When we met as FTLAC in December, mm-hmm. We really were not tracking the fact that the Senate Natural Resources Committee was going to bring its own version of HB 893 and put it through as a committee bill. We had a brief, very brief comment from the department at our last FTLAC meeting about this legislative concept that they want to provide for the 2021 session, but that was it. It was at that point that we started digging in, and it just so happened that I had dinner with Senator Denbrough, and we had long conversations about this. Matter of fact, I'm meeting with Senator Denbrough on Monday to discuss our concerns about, which was originally SB 893, but is now LC 64 legislative concept. And again, we just saw that yesterday. So this is all happening very, very quickly. And again, we know the history of what happened when 893 did not come out of session, and where a work group was proposed by the Senate Natural Resource Committee. We signed on to that, and unfortunately that did not go anywhere. We hope to revive it. Absolutely.
Thank you for your comments.
Really?
I wanted to ask you to give us your opinion about how we, in terms of our decisions regarding the state-owned lands, forest lands, should handle climate change going forward. Do you have comments?
So, and again, here I would go back to my previous comment in my testimony. When it comes to clean water and habitat restoration and fish recovery, no Oregon county does this better than Tillamook County. When I first became commissioner, there was a working group that we had put together in Tillamook County called Tillamook Working Lands and Waters Cooperative. It's just a loose-knit organization of timber interests and dairy interests and fishing interests. And we know we have a story to tell in Tillamook County about how we do things. And it's worked very, very well. As a matter of fact, we have made an offer to the department to offer a tour for this board, possibly in conjunction with OEB, Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. And in Tillamook County, this is how this has worked for many, many years. People always look at Tillamook County, and every year during the winter months, you see the news stories about excessive flooding in Tillamook County. That's because we have our climate is very different than Eastern Oregon when it comes to water. We're not worried about a lack of water and where we're going to get our water. We're worried about how we handle the huge amounts of water that we get every year because of rainfall. And so it's that collaboration with the timber interests and the dairy interests and the fishing interests that we have worked together collaboratively for several decades, for many decades, in trying to make sure that we have clean water and habitat restoration and fish recovery. Again, when I first became commissioner, I started espousing my thoughts on clean water and habitat restoration and fish recovery. Got many raised eyebrows from other commissioners across the state. We did a tour for commissioners 3 years ago. And again, after that tour, they were all asking us in Tillamook County, how do you do these things? And are these concepts transferable to our county? And yes, they are.
Would you say that your county commission is planning for climate change in Tillamook County?
In terms of climate change.
Are you planning for climate change?
I think we plan for climate change every day. We do.
I thought
in many different ways.
What I was trying to get at is a hypothetical that we may be faced some, mm-hmm. you know, because of climate change, being forced into decisions that could hurt the pocketbook of both the trust land counties mm-hmm. as well as the department. And what are your thoughts on that? Do you recognize that? And is that something that we shouldn't consider or should consider in light of the lawsuit?
That is, now, in light of the lawsuit, I'm not sure I can put together the concept of the verdict in the Linn County class action lawsuit and climate change. I'm just not able to do that in my mind at this point. It's a very difficult concept. And again, what a small county with 26,000 residents can do, again, we are so far advanced of many other counties when it comes to natural resources and how we handle the environment. We're very proud of how we do things in Tillamook County.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Joe.
Yeah, commissioners, thanks for coming.
Really.
For coming back. I just have a question about the legislative concept that's being offered here. And you talked about work towards trying to modify that. Is there a way, on the surface it seems to me, to have that kind of flexibility for a landowner is often a good thing. Do you think there's some avenue by which that concept begins to work for the counties?
Absolutely. But that's why we signed on early on when 893 did not come out of committee. We signed on to try to work with the environmental groups, to work with the timber interests, to work with the department, work with the trust counties. We feel that we can find a solution. But to propose this as we're trying to put together a work group, which the Senate Natural Resource Committee wanted to do, and now instead we're trying to find a way to move an LC64, which is their current iteration, which again we just saw yesterday. So it's very difficult for one of the issues here that we see is that yes, we understand the counties must agree to the land transfer should one occur, but it's more than just the counties. When we divide up timber revenue, all the money does not come to the counties. Tillamook County keeps about a quarter of the money. The rest immediately goes out to schools and special districts. So the schools and special districts are also going to have to have a say in any potential properties that are taken out of state forest trust lands. And that's another huge issue here. And then there's the whole, you've got to roll that whole issue over into the Linn County class action lawsuit. If that should stand again, are there going to be additional damages that are going to have to be considered? That's above my pay grade, honestly, it is. Truly.
One thing I might mention to you and to board members is that at noon today, as I mentioned earlier, we will be conferring with legal counsel regarding our rights and duties related to current litigation, and this will give us an opportunity to ask questions of legal counsel, as especially as to how that might relate to some of the recommendations that you're also making to us today. And then later this afternoon, we will be taking up, as has been mentioned, the board work plans, including for state forests. And so that's an opportunity for us to discuss and perhaps clarify where we're headed with respect to those issues here today. And then we'll be finalizing those, I think, at the March meeting.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time today.